object structural and physics, what I'm speaking about here. I want to say a very simple thing, in fact. I want just to analyze the assumption about structural representation that are usually done by structuralist and structuralist approaches to scientific theories, and in particular to object, to constituted objects and so. And why do I want to speak about this? I'm not very satisfied by what I see in the literature on these topics, on this topic. In particular, on the so-called mapping account for structural representation, that is the account according to which the structure used by working scientists are representing the phenomena because there is a direct or indirect mapping between this structure and the structure that are there in the world. So this is the so-called mapping account. And it's a very popular account. In particular, we'll see the account defended by the proponents of ontic structural realism, Stephen French and James Lediman and so on. And perhaps Simon, I don't know if he defends this account. So what I will try to show you is that the relation that we can establish between the structures used by working physicists and the structure we can attribute to the phenomena in the world is a very, very complicated relation, and in most of the cases, it's impossible to trace isomorphisms between these structures. So which is the claim made by structuralists for scientific representation in the case. It is based on structures. Okay, this is what I will try to show you. On the specific case of group structures, the symmetry group structures, which are used in physics, in particular in fundamental physics, for describing elementary particles, their interaction in the so-called standard model of elementary particles. So this is the subject. So then the symmetry structure will be my topic, and how they are connected to the characterization of physical objects. How do we connect them? So my focus is on the structural approach to the question of physical objects, based on the role of symmetry principle, and in particular the group theoretic representation, exploitation in physics. The context is the context of very general debates, the debates on structuralism in science, in particular in physics, more specifically structural realism, and the debate on structural realism, and in the context of structural realism, on the ontic form of structural realism, because we are speaking about objects, so in this sense, this is the form which is more involved with this discussion, and then structural representation, how this structure can represent what is there, what is in the world. So please interrupt me if I say things that are very well known, too much known for you, which is the assumption behind structural realism, the structural version of scientific realism. So the assumption is that scientific theories succeed in describing the structure of the physical world, thus offering a good reason for their empirical success. So it's because they describe the structure, and we have a key role of the notion of structural continuity in this case. What doesn't change across the theory, the succession of theories in the history of science, are structure, the relation between physical quantities. And this is the position which was defended and described in this paper by John Worrell, and which have a paper which has started again the whole discussion on a structural version of realism. So why the best of both worlds? Because what John Worrall says is that some continuity of structure between predecessor and successor scientific theory, that this possibility is used for obtaining the best of both worlds. That is, on the one side, to account for the empirical success of theoretical science, on the other side, to accept the impact of theory change in science. So this is against the meta-induction argument, pessimist argument on scientific theories, that is, the theory change, and how can I believe that they are true, that the theory I'm maintaining now is true, if I see that history of science present me with a succession of theories, and so on. And this goes back to Henri Poincaré. You probably, I hope that everybody knows this this book, wonderful book, The Science and Hypothesis. And if you remember, the first words of chapter 10 about the theories of modern physics were just describing the impression that the man of the street can have when he looks at the succession of physical theories. He sees ruins piled upon ruins, see Poincaré, and he predicts so that the theory in fashion today, fashion as Penrose yesterday told you, the theories in fashion today will in a short time succumb in their turn, and he can conclude that they are vain, and this is what is called the bankruptcy of science. This was just the beginning of last century, but today one could say the same thing if you want. And the Poincaré say this is superficial because one doesn't take into account what is the real aim of science, which is to describe phenomena in particular. It is to describe relation between physical quantities. And these theories do not entirely perish. Some traces remain. These are the traces where is the true reality we are describing. So the aim of science is not in things in themselves, but in the relation between things. Outside those relations, there is no reality, no law. And this is what has been called later on an epistemic version of structural realism. Because structure is all that I can know. That's in this sense. So let me skip a bit over there and go to the conclusion. So the epistemic, in today's term, this position is described with this slogan, all that can be known of the world is structure. So this is the epistemic version, but the one involving object is the ontologic version of structural realism. Here are the first proponents and stronger proponents, especially Stephen French, and his book of 2 years ago, The Structure of the World, you see the title, is the manifesto of this position, where he a summation of all what he has written on the topic. And the difference, by using his own word, the difference between the two versions can be summed in these two slogans: all that we know is structure for the epistemic version, and all that there is structure. This is for the ontological version. These are the two positions. One is more humble, the other is a less humble position. There are no objects, nothing behind structure. You see, in this sense, this is a very strong position, all that there is a structure. So one can wonder what are the motivation and justification for such a position. What allows to maintain such a strong position? It's a long story. In any case, ontic structural realism is contained in what are a more general framework, the framework of a structural approach to the question of physical objects. You don't need to be a ontic structural realist to maintain a structural approach to this question. And in the case of French position, for example, this is the position according to which the physical objects, qua metaphysical entities, since we are in a metaphysic group, let's speak about using this word, should be reconceptualized or more strongly eliminated in favor of the relevant structure. You see, the relevant is already a sensible word. We must understand and specify what this relevant means. And according to how this is achieved, how I reconceptualize the object in terms of the structure, and how I choose the relevant structure, then you can have different version of ontic structural realism. And in any case, the central issue is the relation between structures and objects, how you describe the objects in terms of structure, or and so on. How the structure relates to object. And so let me, I said before, what are the motivations, justification for such a position? So there are many of them. I just choose the two main ones, according to me, that have to do with the use of symmetry principle and their group theoretic exploitation in physics. So the first motivation, according to Stephen French and James Lediman, is that this approach offers a response, an answer, to the metaphysical implication of modern physics. In particular, we have the case of which we have a hero here. Simon is an expert of, has written a lot about this, the problem of the so-called identical particles in quantum physics. That is the fact that we can have, because of permutation symmetry, the invariance under permutation of similar particle, for example, in an atomic system, you have a situation where you have distinct particle, but indistinguishable from the point of view of their properties. And so to eliminate the objects allows to eliminate this undetermination, if you just go to the structure. This is very shortly said, but shortly said because I'm not going into detail of this motivation, but I will focus on this more general, which in a sense contain also the first one. This motivation, this second motivation, general one, is the possibility of a structural account of the so-called intrinsic properties characterizing elementary particles in physics. And this account is in terms of the physically relevant symmetric groups and their irreducible representations. And this is what has been called a group theoretic approach to the question of physical objects. So the idea, and in fact, my talk will focus on this point. I want to show you how, by means of symmetry group and their representation, you can extract the so-called essential properties or intrinsic properties in terms of which you can characterize the physical objects. In this case, microscopic objects, the elementary particle of particle physics. Of course, as you can see, if you can describe an object by using symmetry group and their representation, which are structures, are example of structure, then this can be a strong motivation for a structural approach to the question of physical object. And this has been surely a strong motivation for the original ontic structural realist position. I don't know whether it is still one of the main motivations, but historically, surely it has been. Okay, so my focus will be on the group theoretic approach to characterizing objects. And the seminal paper here is a paper that all philosophers of physics very well know, a paper by Eugen Wigner, who was one of the main physicists of last century. And together with Hermann Weyl, he was one of the leading physicists introducing group theory in the quantum context in the late 20s, early 30s. And in this paper, he studied all the representation, unitary representation. Representation is a technical term here, not in the sense of scientific representation. It's a term of group theory. We'll see later on a bit more. So in this paper, he classified all this representation of the space-time symmetric group of special relativity in the context of relativistic quantum particles. And why I'm quoting this paper, why it is important for this approach, because by investigating this representation, among the many results of the paper, he showed the possibility of arriving at a complete classification of elementary system, let's say elementary particles, in association with the study of this irreducible representation of the Poincaré group. You see, the elementarity corresponds to the irreducibility of the representation. So what is the meaning? We'll see better later on, but in a bit more detail. But let me just anticipate. You see, if you can classify all the kind of particle you have in term of the representation of this group, you have a direct connect. You have a procedure to extract the property for identify and classify classes of particle. Of course, in this case, you are considering a kind of object, not an individual object. You are considering how to characterize the electrons, the class of all electrons, not this electron, okay? Not an individual. So this is this is what we'll speak about. Let me just now make some consideration, some reflection on this relation between structure and objects. So this is our central issue, the relation between these two notions. And we have two main questions debated in current literature. On the one side, we can call it the relational relata issue. That is a concern raised by the notion of an objectless structure. If you are a radical ontic structure realist, you eliminate objects, so you have only relations. So the typical objection is, how can you have relation without relata? Relations require relata in order to be instantiated, in a sense. So this is one corner of the debate in relation with respect to the connection between structure and objects. And the common assumption, you see, there is an implicit assumption that structure are identified with relation and object with relata in this kind of debate. I will not go, I'm not interested in this debate, the first one, because in fact, I think that it's not the point, but you can have relations of relations. It's not what is a relation, what is a relata. It depends on the context and on the role, on the function you attribute to what you are considering. So this is not what I'm going now to discuss. I'm going to discuss the second point, the structural representation. So how structures used in building up the theory are related to what there is. This will be the focus, as I already told you. But these are, I just mentioned the first one because much of the literature has been focused on this first part. This. In any case, when we consider this identification, structure, relation, objects, relata, it's important to distinguish the different context, not to discuss generally as if what we are seeing was had the same value for every context. Things can be very different if you are in a completely abstract context or in linguistic context or concrete physical context and so on. So it's important to decide in which kind of context we are when we discuss this kind of topics. And of course, we need to clarify which structure, what kind of structure, what we intend with structure, and which objects we are considering, what is the domain we are considering. And of course, depending on how we answer to this second point, then the roles of relations and relata can be attributed to both structure and object. So this, I think there is much confusion sometimes because people are not clear about what they are discussing. So this is a note. It's just a note. Let me just recall a very general definition of structure in the context of set theory. A structure is defined as a decoupled. You have a set of elements, which is the domain, and a set of relations on it. So here the structure comes with its object. It's not only a relation, it's elements and relation on them. This is the very general definition of structure, and the typical example of relation between structure in that case is the amorphism among the two structures, or isomorphism when you have a bijective mapping between the domains of the structure such that the system of relation is preserved. This is the concept. Why do I say that? Because this is the kind of relation which is, as I told you before, which is considered by the so-called mapping account of scientific representation, or structural representation. Isomorphism or partial isomorphism between structures. Going to the very general structure, up, down, down, down to the very concrete structures. And there is this idea that you can map partially or completely from one structure to the other until you arrive to the structures attributed to the phenomena or the structure in the world. This is the so-called mapping account. So, this definition, with this definition, we have a very good example, which is the concept of a group, the algebraic concept of a group, that is a set of elements with a composition law such that it satisfies some conditions, in particular the closure condition, that is that the product of two elements of the group is still an element of the group. In this sense, the group, the unitary of the group. Just to give you an example, consider the group of rotation. This means that two rotations result in another rotation. So you stay inside the group by applying the product. This is the idea. Why? So this is the example I'm taking because I will speak about symmetry groups. So it's important to have an idea of what a group is. of groupolin. You see, it's a structure according to the general definition. You have a set of elements, which in the case of the example of rotation group, these elements are the rotation, are rotation operation, and they are combined in a way that the product is still a rotation. So you have elements and relation among these elements. So, and you can have, this is an abstract concept, and you can consider it more concretely. You have have a group of symmetry transformation of a space, of a geometrical structure, of a physical law. What do we mean with physical with symmetry? We mean invariance under the transformation of the group. So this is I will say something more later on. Note in this case that the elements, the so-called relata, if you want, related through the relation characterizing the structure of the group, are the group transformation, are transformation, so in this case. Just to show you how relation and relata can be different things. So what is the general problem here? The general issue is the, I use a lot of the word relation, I'm sorry, but this is the word we have. The relation between this mathematical structure, the algebraic groups, and the physical structure, the structure characterized that have a physical content. So this is a very general issue, mathematics, physics, the relationship. And we are considering it in this case. And the common, as I told you, structuralist answer is to characterize this relation by means of isomorphism, or morphism, or isomorphism. So look at this quotation by French and Ledimann in a paper in 2003. What makes a structure physical? Well, they say that it can be related via partial isomorphism to physical phenomena. This is how physical content enters. So you see, a relation via isomorphism. I wanted to show you this quotation so you can see exactly the position here. So what I will try to show you is that to go from this structure, group structure, symmetry group structure, to the characterization of particle is a long way. And in this long way, you can't reconstruct all the procedure by means of partial isomorphism, by means of isomorphism, and even when partial. Okay, so just to let you understand the point, it's a very simple point, in fact. but to have a concrete, I just want to give you a concrete example in this sense. So, the structure in set theoretical terms was what we saw in the preceding slide. In general, in the use, structures are just identified with relation. This is the common use when we. And so, the typical example are physical equations or physical laws, and more specifically, the dynamical equations in classical and quantum mechanics, field equation in quantum field theory, classical and quantum field theory. These are the structure referred to in the discussion. So, relation, okay, but relation between what? Which entities? In fact, we have two general questions here. The question of what are these entities? How to characterize physical objects, and the question of how the structure can be related to these objects. So these are two corners of the same discussion. And what I want to show you is the procedure to give an answer to these two questions. So let's go back to the structural approach to the question of objects and show how the role of symmetry, how the role of symmetry can be used in this approach. So what is the idea behind? Symmetry is defined as invariance with respect to a group of transformation. This is the definition of symmetry. If you take a sphere, it has a spherical symmetry. This is evident to everybody. And you can express this symmetry by saying that the sphere is invariant, the form of the sphere, the object is invariant when you rotated it around an axis going through the center. So invariant under rotation. The spherical symmetry is the invariance under the group of rotation. Okay, this is just a very simple example to give you an idea. So the notion of symmetry has a long history, and it started as harmony of proportion in ancient time, but more or less toward the modern age. We see the età moderna in the 17th century. Another notion of symmetry emerged, that is, as a relation between equal parts that are transformed one into each other without that the whole figure changes. And from this notion, the modern notion of symmetry as invariance under transformation, and more precisely under a group of transformation, was emerged completely and was used in science. So it's a long history for the notion of symmetry. And in fact, the two notions, the ancient one and the modern one, are not the same things. You can't express the harmony of proportion in terms of invariance with respect to a group. But you can express the notion of similar correspondence of part, for example, which was the notion in the 17th century. You have a figure with equal parts which are correspondent one to each other. So this notion you can express in terms of invariance with respect to transformation. For example, the symmetry of the human body is invariant. The bilateral symmetry of the human bodies, you can express it by the invariance with respect to reflection. Is that clear? So just to show you why we can use this notion of symmetry, which is a very, very general notion, and which has not to be applied only to figure, to concrete figure or geometrical figure, but it can be applied to very general relations, such as the dynamical law, the equations. An equation can be invariant under transformation. So this is a very general notion. And symmetry groups now in physics are used as for describing the interaction of particles and for characterizing the object. So symmetry groups have become a very basic ingredient in modern physics. But the idea of using symmetry for characterizing objects, in fact, it's an old idea. The relation between objects and invariance. And think about the idea of permanence, invariance in time. This is a classical requirement for defining the identity of an object through time. The fact that it's permanent, invariant. Or invariance with respect to change in space and time. For example, under change of reference frame, who is the person observating it? If I move from here to here, the object I'm looking at doesn't must not change. This idea is a very old idea, and it became an objectivity condition with the in the last century, thanks to the thanks to relativity, to the theory of relativity, that is theory, the principle of relativity. Probably you all know about it, but it's establishing that that the physical law should not change under change of reference frame. You can consider that very generally in this case. The reference frame are a transformation under reference frames can be described as space-time transformation. It is translation, rotation, transition to a moving system, and so on. And so the idea is that what counts in defining an object should not depend upon the perspective under which the object is taken into consideration, and this is a way of interpreting the invariance also of the objectivity of the physical description by means of the invariance of the law also under the change of reference frames. This is the meaning behind the idea of space-time invariance. Why I'm saying that? Because the group I will be considering is the group of space-time transformation. And this idea of objectivity connected to the invariance with respect to space-time transformation has been very clearfully expressed by Hermann Weyl in his classic book, very nice book on symmetry. And so this is a quotation taken from him. Objectivity means invariance with respect to the group of, read it, symmetry group of space-time, which is the same thing. So this is just to make you understand that to speak in terms of symmetry group for characterizing object is not something completely new. It has a very natural idea behind it. And historically, it goes back, this idea to define object in terms of invariant, goes back to Felix Klein and his conception of geometry. we are in the 19th century and the end of second half of 19th century. The idea that it's possible to speak in terms of objects in a given context if it's possible to individuate invariance in that context. So this connection between objects and invariance. And this goes back to his new conception of geometry, which was proposed in his famous, what is known as his Erlangen program. Have you heard about it? Is that no? This conception of geometry, that is. The group theory was very recently. The concept of a group was introduced by Galois. Perhaps you have heard about Galois, Évariste Galois, who died very young. There is a very fascinating history and romantic history about the fact that he introduced and this concept the days before dying and so on. But this was in 1831. And this is just to let you understand that when Felix Klein was introducing his conception of geometry, the group theory, the theory of group of operation or substitution of all kind of transformation was new. It was not an old theory. In the mathematics, it was being developed in those years. And the first summa on this theory was of more or less 10 years before the longer problem of Felix Klein. So what Klein did was to apply this to the concept of a geometrical theory. That is, a geometrical theory was defined as by means of a space of points, space in a very general sense, and an invariance group, a symmetry group. And the geometrical properties were the property, a group of transformations, sorry. You have a space and a group of transformations. And you define the geometry as the study of the properties that are invariant under the transformation of the group. The typical Euclidean geometrical figures are those that are invariant under this kind of transformation. You see, so geometric property and symmetry properties became two very closely related concept notion. So to define a geometrical object, you had to individuate the invariance with respect to a transformation group. And this idea has been transposed in other contexts, in particular in physics. But and with the application of group theory to the physics of last century, it became very effective, an idea very effective. For example, you see, I have mentioned Cassirer there, because he considered the theory of group with respect to the object of our common perception. For example, he applied this idea to the object of our common perception. So it's not only for the object of physical theory, it's in a restricted sense. And you have a bit of history of the person contributing to this idea, but it's just that I have just put some names just to give you an idea of how it evolved in the last two centuries. Now, let me tell you what is the resulting view. Objects are characterized in terms of invariants, set of invariants, if you want. And this in term of quantities that are invariant with respect to the transformation group, which are relevant in physics. And in the case of particle physics, to give you an example to let you understand what we mean by these invariants, these are quantities like the mass, spin, charge, characterizing the particle, the so-called intrinsic properties. As I told you, characterizing the kind of particles considered. And what is interesting for a structural approach to the question of defining objects is that by applying group theory methods to exploit the symmetry principle, like the space-time symmetry principle formulated in terms of the theory of relativity. So to exploit this principle by means of group theory provide us with a general procedure for constructing, allow me to use this word, the object of physical theories, a set of invariants. It's not just that I say, oh, an object is a set of invariants. I have a procedure for extracting these invariant quantities starting from the symmetry principle and their group theoretic exploitation. So it's very precise. It's not just something one says so. So note, as I told you, these properties are necessary in the sense that the given particle object couldn't be determined as such without them. So they are necessary too. An electron couldn't be an electron without given properties of mass, spin, and charge, okay? But they are not sufficient to individuate the particle, so This is for a class of particles. But being necessary, they can be considered essential, the essential property for characterizing the object. Okay, now let me try to give you an idea of this procedure. It's not very easy because one has to go into some details. So please just take what I say as trust me in what I'm saying, because I cannot go into too much detail. But I hope to be able to give you an idea of how the procedure goes and how it is impossible to describe it in terms of isomorphism, just to also. So we start from this, the point you have already heard. An elementary particle is a physical system whose states transform under the operation of the symmetry group according to a definite irreducible representation of the group. So this is the definition of an elementary particle. Let me try to give you an idea how, what does it mean. This is the definition which physicists normally usually employ when they speak about particles in the context of particle physics. So in general, let me say in general, if G is a symmetry group of a theory, what does it mean, a symmetry group of a theory? It means that the fundamental equation of the dynamical equation of the theory, a theory which is described a kind of physical system, okay? The equation, the dynamical equation for describing the evolution of this system is invariant under the transformation of the group. So this means that G is a symmetry group of a theory. So if I take the equation and the variables of the equation, the x which appear in the equation, and I transform these variables, for example, by applying translation in space or rotation in space or translation to a uniformly moving coordinate system and so on, then the equation remains invariant. So this is the meaning of symmetry of an equation. And by symmetry group of a theory, we mean that, precisely that, that the dynamical equation doesn't change under the transformation of reference frame, if you want to grasp it more easily. Okay, is that clear what it does mean? So if you have, if G is a symmetry group of the theory, what does it mean? Then the operation of the group, in that case the group can be the group of translation, the group we'll consider is the group of translation in space, rotation in space, translation in time, and translation to transformation to a uniformly moving system. This is the space-time symmetry group of special relativity. So in that case, these operations, which are in space-time, are represented in technical sense in the space of the states of the physical system. You follow me? By means of operation or operators which relates the states one to the other. So this is the meaning of a representation. That is, the translation in space is represented in the space of the states of the system by an operation which relates the state of the system one to the other, which transforms the state of the system one into the other. The state of the space of states, I don't know if you have an idea, but if you have an idea of what of a quantum system, for example, the space of its state is the Hilbert space associated to the system. Or in the classical mechanics, the space of the states is the so-called phase space associated to a system. That is the space of whose point are the position and momentum of the particles, the ensemble of these points. So it's just something very technical but simple. It's a physical system is defined by specifying its states, which are the preparation mode for the system, if you want, and the quantity that can be observed on the system when it is in one of these states. So this is the way of specifying a system, a physical system. So if the equation, the dynamical equation, is invariant under a group of transformation, this implies that the states of the system transform one into each other by means of these operations which are representing those of the group. Is that a bit clear? Because it's important to understand this this passage. It's all here, in fact. It's not so much more complicated. So this implies that the system... What this implies? And so this... The passage from here to here is what I will try to show you in the next two slides. When you have this, a symmetry group and the representation of the symmetry group in the space of the states of the system, this implies that the system have a given number of invariant properties, which are exactly the properties which characterize the kind of system in question. So if you are not already, let me show you this when the group we are considering is the space-time symmetry group of special relativity. The principle of special relativity, Einstein, 1905, is the postulate that all physical laws are invariant under these space-time symmetries, this space-time transformation, which correspond to the change of reference frame, which we have already described before. So, more in detail, space-time symmetry postulated in special relativity are the invariance of physical laws with respect to this transformation, translation in space and time, special rotation, transition to a uniformly moving coordinate system. So, this is the group, symmetry group, special relativity, okay? And this is the group that Wigner studied in his paper. Now, space-time transformation, such as this, just mentioned, are continuous. A rotation, you can see it as a continuous movement. It's not a discrete movement. An inversion would be discrete, but a rotation, a translation are continuous movement. Okay? So this group are continuous group. In particular, they are Lie groups. And now you will be a bit depressed when I'm with my introducing this terminology. But Lie, Sophus Lie, was the other person in the 19th century with Felix Klein who understood the importance of groups and representation of groups, and he applied them to physics. He was the first one to apply them in the context of classical physics, to study the differential equation of in physics. And so here, this structure, Lie groups, Lie algebra, are so called after him, after Sophus Lie, who was the first one to study. So what is a Lie group? In the case of a Lie group, the element of the group, the rotation, the translation, according to the group you are considering, can be seen as function of a continuous parameter. The rotation is function of an angle, and which varies with continuity. You follow me? You can see them as function of continuous parameter. And now, these parameters are such that the group elements can be written in terms of infinitesimal operator, which are called the generator of the group, and which satisfy a multiplication law of this kind. Now, it's not important that you understand all the details of this thing. Just the only thing to realize is that you had before a group, that is, elements and relation, a structure between these elements, a relation between. Here you have still an isomorphism, if you want. You can represent these group elements by means of infinitesimal, an infinitesimal rotation. You can construct a given rotation by means of a succession of infinitesimal rotation. You follow me? So, but you can do that only if you have continuous group, not if you have a discrete group. Okay? And so you arrive to this generator of the group, which are the Lie bracket, and which are, you have a composition law among this element of this kind. Don't bother if you don't understand exactly what does this mean. Just to give you a pictorial idea, an intuitive idea, you have a composition law here with this coefficient C, you see here, the coefficient. So we say that this is an algebra because you have operators and a composition law between these operators. And algebraically, this corresponds to speak about an algebra. Why do I say all this? Just have the patience of following me on this slide and then it's finished. Because you see, so the algebra of the group is specified by this composition law. And the C, which I have written there, are the structure constant of the group, because they characterize the particular structure of the group, okay? This structure constant. Until here, if you want, you can have isomorphism. Until here, this can be seen as isomorphic to the group structure we have started with. But now, what we do with this constant? So, for every Lie group that I have just described, it's possible to construct operators which have this form. They are, you see, quadratic. Quadratic in the generator of the group. And this element is given by this expression in terms of the group constant. You see, here, you have lost the isomorphism. You have no more. You construct an operator by means of this in this way. Why do I speak about these operators? Because they are the fundamental invariants of the group. So I have, by construction, operators which are the fundamental invariants of the group. We are almost there. So, what does this mean? This means that in an irreducible representation, which is the one we want to describe an elementary system, this implies that they are just the multiples of the unit operators. So, they give you number, their eigenvalue, the value of this operator on the states of the system, give you number, and this number are exactly the quantum numbers characterizing the particles, that is mass, spin, charge. So now you are fed up, you can know more, but this was just to see you how we go from a structure to this, to extract these quantities in terms of which we can characterize the object. So this was to show you how the the path followed is a complicated path, presenting introduction of new quantities, of new operators, of you construct. There is a construction here, which has nothing to do with a mapping account. To connect the group structure on the one side and the properties of particle on the other side. So, just don't, no need to read this thing. Let's go to the conclusion. We have used some mathematical structure in our theory building. Poincaré group, Lie algebras, the structure of the space of state, the evolution law, we have all these structures. And we ask, these are mathematical structures, Lie groups, and so on. What makes a structure physical? And the answer of the mapping account was, what makes it physical, that is the structure of the physical phenomena, is that it can be related via partial isomorphism. But we have no direct mapping, we have no mapping. You have seen the procedure, I have tried to give you an idea. There is no possible mappings between one thing and the other here. That is, to speak about the somebody has spoken about group structural realism. That is that the symmetric groups are structure existing in reality. So, what I try to show you is that this makes no sense in the sense that the symmetric group are structure used by physicists in theory building in such a way that it allows to extract what are the invariant quantities in terms of which we can characterize the object. But to think that these group structures are existing there in the world, or similar, just via isomorphism, it doesn't make much sense. I hope to have been able to show you this. I'm not sure if I succeeded, but this was the aim of my talk. To show you how complicated is this way of arriving to describing the physical phenomena and properties which can be observed and in terms of which to characterize the object. So, in fact, there are very simple cases where you can have a direct isomorphism. I'm not denying that. What I'm saying is that it depends on the context and on what you are describing. So one cannot adopt a general account saying the relation between structure here and there is via partial isomorphism. You can say this in very simple case, very direct cases, but usually you can't even reconstruct by means of mapping how you go from one side to the other side. And since symmetry groups are a typical example presented in the literature on ontic structural realism, I just wanted to focus on that and show you how it's very complicated to arrive from one point to the other.